everyone in the tech field wants to do three things: relax, automate, and get paid. There's no other tool out there that can make that more possible than D7. Go over to foolishit.com. Don't forget to use the promo code PodNutsShow20 to save an extra 20%. PodNuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, this is episode 91 of The Geeksters. If you're joining us live, do not adjust the TV. If you're listening to us after, you know, on a recording, you don't have wax in your ears. We're joined by Fred. He is a real, real person. He is a little real boy. As they say, was it in Pinocchio? I am a real boy.
Yes, I am. As opposed to what Mr. Bauermeister might have you led everybody to believe, I actually do exist. But, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, Santa Claus with the Easter Bunny. I only come out for special occasions. So.
And it is a special occasion because it's episode 91.
Exactly. You know, I couldn't come for 92.
And back. No way. That's weird. That's downright. That's downright rude. But we're glad to have you with us, Fred. It's nice to see you here. Unfortunately, Mitch is sick tonight and is not going to be able to join us. But like we have all the shows in the past, we have Tim Bauermeister joining us. He's like a rock, folks.
Yeah, I'm like a rock. My wife will tell you that I'm a rock sitting on the couch.
Hell or high water, Tim will be here.
Yeah, just like a rock, just sits there. Doesn't do anything.
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
Yeah. It's going okay. I was feeling better. I just looked not. This is episode 91. That's not a prime number. I was feeling good about this, but that's not prime. So, yeah, it's a multiple of 13 and 7. How could this be? This is like, well, I guess that's pretty good for a Halloween episode, huh? If you're into numerology at all, what do you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't
91
even...
is, yeah, multiples of 13 and 7. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I showed up to this. No wonder Mitch was out of here.
Because it was a multiples of 13 and 7, folks.
That's awful. That's an awful, awful number. Okay, let's get this thing over with before anything bad happens.
I like right. I like, oh, what there's a black Swift.
The black cat just ran through here.
I like what Swift in the chat room said. I'm like a chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
It was funny because when I first read that, I thought it said
chupacabra.
Well, when I first read it, I thought he said capybara, like the big. They look like giant guinea pigs.
I could be that. So, I could be that too.
That, yeah. Well, your definition and the way you pronounce it is much better. You're either a scary monster or a giant rodent. One of the two.
chupacabra.
Oh, that's good.
Wow, that's really something.
Since we haven't seen Fred in a while, Fred, what have you been up to?
Well, I'll tell you, I live in West Virginia, as you guys probably know, and we're kind of in the woods. And here about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, the government had decided that it'd be a really good idea to drop these, like, Japanese beetles. They're like ladybugs. Well, they are ladybugs, but they call them Japanese beetles. For the purpose of something, like eating something. Well, whoever calculated the amount that you should drop miscalculated, because now we have an infestation of ladybugs. So... And on the nights where we get a frost and then it gets warm during the day, in the afternoon, these ladybugs are like swarmed, man. So I've been killing ladybugs. That's my newest job. Vacuum them up.
Wow. With the fly swatter or like your fist?
No, they just die. They have a lifespan, I think, of about 35 minutes. So you just vacuum them up.
So you've been killing them with a Hoover?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Inside or outside?
Just the ones that make it in the house. I haven't gone... Although my porch is just like, it's like a crunchy bed of dead ladybugs. So I am going to have to address that issue probably with a broom, I would imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's interesting. We get ladybugs every now and then, but we just put them on like the, well, not now because it's getting cold, but we just put them on the tomato plants and they keep the aphids.
Yeah, out. I think that's what they put them out for, but yeah, they miscalculated.
How many tomato plants do you have in West Virginia?
Well, I have zero. Because
the ladybugs keep eating them.
Because Walmart has tomatoes, so therefore I don't need a plant. But but yeah. No, I've been doing good. I've been busy with work and everything, and I've tried to make a few shows, and it just hasn't worked out. So I'm glad I made it tonight. I actually, excuse me, I had a few repairs I've done lately. Would you like to hear?
Cool. Well, yeah, because last time we talked, you were doing the video system for the dance studio.
Yeah, about that.
Oh my gosh, that was like a year ago.
That was probably in a show that was not a prime number, or was it, I don't know.
It wasn't even at Podnuts. It was like at the place before the last place.
Well, yeah, that project is ongoing. That's how I like to word that. no, it's done. It was a lot of fun learning how to set all those cameras up and everything. So, but yeah, I didn't prepare for that topic though.
Tim. No, I was giving people, you know, last time on Podnuts or Geeksters with Fred.
I actually had a friend of mine call me up, and she had she told me her laptop wouldn't turn on. And so, of course, I said, well, what do you mean it won't turn on? Like, you push a button and nothing happens? Because a lot of times they say that, and it actually does turn on, but it won't boot or, you know. So yeah. I showed up, and sure enough, plugged it in, pushed the power button, and I mean, nothing happened. So, but the light on the power supply was lighting up. So, I don't know. So I said, well, let's try taking the battery out and booting it, see if it'll pull the battery out. Sure enough, fired right up. So, that's odd. So I put the battery back in and plugged it in, and it worked fine. It booted right up. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know why it was like stuck. But because I was thinking, well, maybe the battery was bad and it was causing it to not boot, because that had dirty power does happen. That wasn't the problem. Although I do, in hindsight, the battery is shot. I did figure out later. So anyway, I brought she said, well, it needed to be tuned up anyway. So I brought it home. And, the other thing she said it wouldn't do was it wouldn't, the CD DVD player wouldn't play music. If you put a music CD in, it wouldn't play. But if you put a DVD in or a media CD, it did work. So I thought she was nuts.
That could be, I wonder if that's a codec issue though.
I don't know exactly. I did delete the driver, the driver, and reinstalled, updated the drivers and all that, and it didn't make a difference. And talking with a few other people, they said, that does happen with when those drives get old, they fail like that. So initially my thought was, well, I'll just replace the drive, because it's only, they're like what, $20, something like that. So then after, I moved into checking, all the other things. Well, the hard drive was failing on, and by the way, this is HP DV7 with Vista.
So this thing should have been bricked like years
That's
ago.
What I'm saying. I mean, she was lucky that the thing was still kicking. And it was, it was a really nice one. Like, it was like the media center version, 17 inch with it was a nice laptop.
They were all really, really nice for about 9 to 15 months, right?
Until the heat monster got them.
The heat miser.
But so I checked CrystalDisk, and like I said, it's C-Tools. They both failed. So we got the bad hard drive. We got the bad CD player. And then what else happened with that thing? Oh, the mouse pad wouldn't work.
Well, I was going to say real quick is that charging issues were, one of the classic symptoms of the GPU failure on those. I wonder if she wasn't, looking at something imminent.
That's what I told her, almost that exactly. And But the other thing was the mouse pad didn't work, the touch pad. So I tried the drivers that didn't fix it. So after I added all this up and, I'm like, I know how much I'm going to make on this job, which is going to be. And so I just told her I tuned it up and it was running fine after I gave it the tune up. She always, and the funny thing is she didn't even know the mouse pad didn't work. She goes, oh, I always have a mouse plugged into it. So I'm like, well, okay. Well, your mouse pad doesn't work either.
Because it quit working 6 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So I told her, I said, well, I told her, get all your, she did have pictures that she wanted off. So I actually, this was the other funny thing. She hands me this, a thumb drive, and it's it's you could tell that by the packaging that this thumb drive was every bit of 4 to 5 years old, and it was billed as a picture backup thumb drive. I can't remember the word. I really meant to take a picture of it because I actually thought it was kind of funny, and and I did do pull the battery, hold the power button down, by the way, just for the chat room. It said it held like 8,000 pictures. So she had a lot of pictures. So she goes, well, use this to put the pictures on. I said, okay. I stick it in there, let it run overnight, wake up, it copied over like 2,000 and it was full. So no. This thumb drive must have been, it's 8,000 must have been calculated on digital images taken in like 2004 or 3, something like that.
Yeah.
So I told, right. I said, just go to Walmart, just buy yourself a, 16 gig thumb drive and just throw them all on there. And, I said, just run it, run it until it dies. I said, it's going to die. I said, but it's not worth what it's going to cost to replace a hard drive, to fix the mouse pad, to fix the CD player. And then like Tim, we were saying, the GPU is going to go. Because the thing, she goes, oh, yeah, it's always run real hot. It's like, yep, that's what they do. So that was, I didn't know what else to do.
No, that's exactly what you do. I mean, when I see a DV7, the DV6000, when I see the DV7000, the DV, I don't know, on and on and on and on. I mean, I got stacks of them here. As soon as they come in, my first question is, before they even speak, it's like, okay, so is this a data recovery or it's just acting weird? It's acting weird, or it was acting weird. Now it's quit, but I mean, if they're like, well, it just needs a tune up. And I'm like, I'm going to tune you up. You need to go buy a new laptop. Cause this thing, you're on borrowed time, working with this thing. Oh my gosh. Anybody who has an HP, anything still running Vista, it's like,
yeah, it's not.
You've paid your penance for whatever bad thing you did in your computer life, in history, in your past. I think that, you've said all the Hail Marys that you need to say using this machine for this long.
Right. Yeah, it's like you said, it's borrowed time with those things. And what's funny is that do you see them very much anymore? The 6000s, 7s? Because I used to see them all the time until about a year ago, and I'd say in the last year I haven't seen one. It's like they all died.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. Matter of fact, my stack of them here is relatively pedestrian compared, I think, to a lot of shops. I remember Mr. Kelly. Talking about, just the stacks and stack, like the closet fulls. I mean, I'm sure he did closet fulls. You get to that point, you just clean them out. But, it's it was a shame. I mean, they would all come in. And I tell you what, you'll see in this time of year, you would see them, late spring, maybe early summer, that first really hot day where the thing sat on the desk in front of this, and the sun hit it just the right way, and the room was hot enough, and everything came together for the thing to, for it to let all the smoke out. And so I would imagine, I don't see them at all like I used to. Thank goodness. Cause that to me was just heartbreaking. But, there's no doubt in my mind come next late April or something, there'll probably be some poor dude that'll drag one in here. But no, I don't see them like I used to. Thank goodness.
Yeah, you had to feel bad for them when, especially back when they came out and they were having all the overheating issues and, especially like those DV7s, they spent a lot of money on those things.
Well, yeah, and that was after HP fixed all the problems. It's like, okay, this is what we have now and everything's fixed. And here comes the whole new line with the same old crap. And, with those DV7s, it was a shame. They were like, feature-wise, they were fantastic. Price-wise, they couldn't be beat. If you didn't mind the styling of the, of the outer case, they were relatively handsome, and they died very quickly soon after. So, it's really a shame.
Yeah, so that was my my experience with that repair, I guess you could call it. I was more of a turned into just a tune up, but I went as far as I was going to go with it.
Yeah, there's a point where you really have to just say it's time. It's, you know, it's time for that. I had a client who his computer would die. I'd fix it. It would die. I'd fix it. It'd die. I'd fix it. And finally, it was getting to the point where he's talking about, you know, maybe wanting a new computer, maybe wanting, you know, something better. And, you know, then now it's the time to go shopping and we're looking. And I did find him, and it was the first computer that I deployed that actually had Windows 8 on it. And so far, he seems to like it. So I was, you know, he seems to get around it pretty good. It does not have Windows 8.1 on it. It has Windows 8, and but he's using, I think we put on the classic shell. I'd mentioned this before. So he likes it. But yeah, there is a point where you have to just say, it's time for something new. I can't, you know, you can only Band-Aid it so many times. You can only put your finger in so many, you know, put Band-Aids on so many times on the wall of the dam before right. The dam's going to break.
Right.
Now, I use that classic shell. Now, I know there's other ones out there, and I've heard of Start 8. Start 8, that's the one that I've heard of.
Yeah, I've been using Start is Back, and I like it. I've never used Start 8, but Start is Back is, I find is much nicer than Classic Shell. When I say much nicer, it just makes it look exactly like Windows 7 as opposed to something close to Windows 7. And it
does. Sure. Now, does it?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, I was going to ask you if it. It's gone. Sorry.
Poof! Squirrel. No.
Must have been a lie.
It doesn't run as a service. Oh, so
it was. I was asking if it was free or not.
Oh,
that was it.
No. Well,
because Classic Shell's free.
I think it's $3 for
So it's not very expensive.
For one license, and I think it's like $5 for five. So I mean, it's basically free. Which I think Start 8's the same. I think Start 8's the same price. Yeah, I've been running it, you know, for about a week and I really like it. It does make it exactly like, and it does away with all the hot corners and everything.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
All the little Easter eggs that are hidden in there.
So
we actually bumped something. You have no idea what you've done.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is
it's like a haunted GUI. It really is. It's like a haunted GUI. You just drag your mouse and things start popping up at you. They used to call those viruses in Windows.
Now it's just called Windows.
Yeah, yeah. Windows just threw them in, and now you don't know if you're infected or not. Maybe, you know. Actually, that's pretty. You know what? That's pretty good. Like I can't fix. I used to say I can't fix this. Now I'm like, oh no, that's Windows 8. That's what it does.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you
No, nobody's playing along. Okay. Anyway.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, I agree. High five, Tim, right here.
It's the haunted GUI.
That was good.
Oh, gosh. All right. Anyway, that's stupid.
But, you know, with 8.1, you know, I had it just upgraded today, or upgraded, whatever you want to call it, installed. And it killed my Start is Back, so I got to redo it. But I got back, like you were saying, into the haunted GUI because all I wanted to do is see if 8.1 was installed. And, like, I couldn't, like, click any. I couldn't find it. You know, like, where do you go?
Yeah, okay.
Where you, like, right-click my computer? Couldn't find it. So, I finally did find it, but it was after, you know, poking around for a little bit. I'm sure once you get used to Windows 8, you know, no, it's not. It's going to suck anyway. But, with Start is Back, it's so much like Windows 7 that it's very usable. I mean, I'm not going to switch back. I'm going to keep using Windows 8. But the thing I like about Windows 8, though, I will say, kind of jumping off the train here, is it's I find it to be incredibly fast on my machines. I mean, it boots faster than my Nexus 7. I mean, I'm from the time I hit the power button until the time I'm on the desktop rocking, it's like 16, 17 seconds. I mean, it's just quick. And that's not with an SSD.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Smoking fast.
16, 17 seconds is quite a bit of time, though.
Gee, many Christmas.
I mean...
Oh, my gosh.
What are you... That's a long time? Wow.
Well... All right. I'm just looking at my box. I guess it just comes down to, I'm not trying to be a Windows hater or anything, but it, you know, it does come down to the box you're running it on. Because what are you running your Windows 8 on?
This one I'm on right now is an i5, and then my other one's an i7. Well, my laptop's an i7. So, but it also comes down to what you have starting. I mean, that's really what's the key is. How much, you know, junk you have, you know, loading up when you're starting up. And I have mine
like minimalist. Just Windows 8 in general.
Well, hey, listen, right. I know you're hating. Anything. I know you Linux guys hating on that.
But, I'm not.
But listen, I did 30 days in Linux and it was a fail. I mean, ultra fail.
Well, let's not start that discussion.
No.
That was actually a time.
I'm just giving you bad time, okay. Fred.
Because let's all just decide what we can agree on and let's just go with that. You know, anything that's booting in 16 or 17 seconds on a old school spinning drive has got something going.
That is true.
There's something right there. And you know what? I mean, my my exposure to Windows 8.
Don't expose yourself to Windows 8.
It's minimal. It's been minimal. But you know, thinking back, actually, I can't disagree with that. I don't remember. I mean, obviously, these are new machines, newer hardware, new installs. But they did start up, you know, fairly quickly. So I don't know.
Well, my time frame, 16, 17 seconds, isn't scientific. I haven't actually timed it. I'm just kind of guessing. But it's very fast. So, I mean, I hit the button, and then, you know, the little thing spins around, and then it asks me for my password, and then I'm in. I mean, so it's pretty quick.
Faster than your Nexus 7, huh?
Yeah. It's definitely faster than the same rig with Windows 7 on it. And I had the same stuff starting in the, you know, the startup menu. So
yeah,
got it. That's cool. That's cool. I'll have to look at that. I've just used the classic shell, but I haven't been deploying much of Windows 8. I tried to get Windows 8 to run in a VM, and it didn't seem to run very well. So, yeah, so be it.
Yeah.
Now, you wanted to talk. Now you talk a lot about Britech 09. Does he? Looks like he's got some Windows 8 videos, though, right? Some kind of how-tos and...
Yeah, he's actually the one, he did that Start Is Back. That's where I kind of found that from. Was from his channel. And, you know, his, like I said, it doesn't run as a service, whereas, you know, Classic Shell does. So, I mean, if you're a, speed demon, you like that. But yeah, it's great. He's got great videos on all those kind of things. So, you know, you can check that out and, trying to think of what else I wanted to say about that. You brought that up. So, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I was curious. I saw that in your notes and was curious about that, how that worked and, just him. I mean, his name's come up a couple times, and it sounds like he's, you know, from what I've seen, he's a good tech, and he's got a lot of stuff out there that just is really good, and he seems to know his stuff.
Yeah, he hangs out in our TeenSpeak channel. Whoop, what the world? Windows 8? He hangs out in our TeenSpeak channel, and, you know, he helps out a lot of people. Not only does he put those videos out for free that are extremely helpful, but, you know, one-on-one help, he helps a lot of people out, you know, so... Yeah, he's a great guy. Check his videos out. Pretty much, if there's a virus out there, he's done a removal process on it.
Oh, very nice.
The best.
Very nice. And I do any of the links that we're talking about, you know, Start 8 and Britech 09's videos. We have a link. We'll be definitely putting all those links in the doc. So if you miss it, if you miss anything, just go back to the show notes and we'll make sure that they're in there. Now, it looks like, Fred, you had another story that kind of caught my attention being so close to the Bay Area, that there was a giant, there was a controversy of maybe what a giant floating barge was doing in the middle of the bay.
Yeah, it was a CNET article I just caught the other day. I thought it was just funny. They're this big barge. Yeah, you put in the chat there. Big barge, and their speculation is it's owned by Google, and it's going to be floating data centers. I guess so they can. I don't know. I mean, I really can't wrap my brain around why you need a floating data center. But I guess if you wanted to, like, maybe the NSA was coming to take it, you could, like, hook it up to a tugboat and take it away or something. I don't know. But
it definitely sounds better than a sinking data center.
Right.
And you know what? If the NSA was coming, I'd pull the plug. Let it go right to the bottom.
That's right. That's right. It's got just a plug just like your boat. Pull it out.
just like the tub.
Well, no, there was actually, I guess they had a...
There goes your data down the drain, literally.
There goes your data right down the drain.
I guess they actually patented this floating data center idea, you know, long time back, I don't know, mid-2000s. And, so that's the speculation that this is... and actually what the article says, is, you know, from experts, is that it's actually going to be a backup data center. It won't be like a... I guess production data center, is that how you'd word that? So they would, right. That's where they would be holding their backups. So I guess if they get bad, they take their backups and go to, you know, Sweden or something. I don't know.
Well, the other thing I feel like I fell asleep for part of this conversation. What on earth is this? This doesn't what? How did we get on this? Is it something you?
Well, yeah,
why?
Fred, yeah.
Why Fred, do you? Why would? Saw. Why does that thing need to be in the ocean? I mean, because
it's in the bay. To be technical.
Right, it's not, and the other thought that is well, that it's actually gonna they're trying to one up Apple, and they're maybe gonna make a floating Google iStore, like a Google Glass store. So if you want to go to Google Glass, you go out and you maybe take a little ferry out to this floating store, and now you've one up Apple with all their you know solid glass stores.
You know what I tell you, I would like to see a floating Apple store, and I'd cut the rope and I would just like shove off. Push them off and, you know, just let them watch them float away. And I don't know. I need to read more about this. I'm sure that obviously there's more to this than I'm imagining, but it just sounds kind of silly.
Well, yeah. And Tachos in the chat brought up something that I had been thinking exactly the same thing. He says, get to international waters and free of any government intrusion.
I forgot. That's
if you've
great.
Ever been
I
mean, on a yeah. cruise ship, you leave the cruise, you know, you leave your port, and as soon as you hit international waters, they're like, gambling's open, because you can't, you know, there's no regulation. So if you're going to store data and you're going to store it away from any governmental agency, you put it in international waters.
Yeah, no, I was thinking exactly the same thing, that all the data. I mean, once you push out to international waters, I mean, you're drinking vodka and smoking Cuban cigars, and you're just touring, and then like you float back over and every you know,
yes, and you right. just like you float yeah, you out, fix you're your touring, tie, you come back
you,
in,
you come back, you fix your tie. Well, I'm trying to think of G-rated things that are like you could do in international waters that are, you know. not that I could think of any other kind of things to do in international waters, but yeah, it's like, but then again, I mean, that only a geek would come up with that as like a really good, no offense, Tachos. I mean, I actually thought of it independently, but it's like, well, like, it's like a geek dream is like, oh, let's have a floating data center at international waters. And it's like, wow, that big old brain of yours. And that's the worst that you can come up with. No offense, Todd. Just, I mean, you were actually like applying like a really good idea to a thing that already existed. I mean, this is like they actually come up with that. It's like, okay, anyway.
Yeah.
I just want to know how they're going to like power this data center if they did actually tow it out in the middle of the ocean.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be water cooled.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It'll burn spam.
There you go. They're going to print out spam onto physical paper and burn that for fuel to heat up steam. It's going to be steam powered.
There you go.
But on a serious note,
too much of a stretch.
On a serious note,
there's a lot of heat that comes out of this thing. You can't concentrate the heat coming out of a data center and boil some water with it. Sounds obviously that's insane. This whole thing is insane. Why are we talking about this? Is this going somewhere?
No.
I need to read.
I was curious. My main question is the why. You know, why? Because, I mean, come on, it's Google. They're not going to tow their data center off in the middle of the ocean and sit there and go, you know, I mean, at least I don't think they would.
You know, I think it's because they can. They're doing this, whatever it is, because they can.
Think so?
Yeah. If you have enough money, you know, if you have enough money, you do something because you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Speaking of barges and having money, I had a buddy of mine I work with. He worked for a guy back when the... In 2000, you know, when they were having the, what was it called? When everybody was going to explode because the computers were going to, like, attack us or something. And
Y2K?
Yeah, Y2K. Thank you. So, for like, so, so, so.
That, and I, that's so Y2K.
It was a blip on the radar.
So, for like 4 years, this guy was a billionaire, by the way. So for 4 years, this guy spent, he had a barge built. He had, like, 90% of his assets turned into like gold and things that he could take with him. In this barge, my buddy was showing me pictures of this thing. It was insane. It was like a palatial palace. It was like a Google data center, you know. And so he had all this stuff with a helicopter, landing pad, and all this stuff, so that when the robots attacked, you know, he could just shove off into the Caribbean and, you know, live happily ever after, complete with security brigade, by the way, like with boats that would circle around him and protect him. Nice. Yeah. And then I said, so what did he do when he woke up on, you know, January 1st and the world was still here? He's like, he just sold it.
Okay. So if nobody can, he just sank it. If nobody can, if he can't have it, nobody else can.
He just sold it. He spent 4 years of his life, you know, prepping for this disaster. And, oh, well, what are you going to do?
Somebody in the chat room wants to know if his name was Howard Hughes.
No, but from the way he describes the guy, he was very similar to him. I wouldn't have given him my empty milk jugs.
Wow. What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does that mean, Fred? Oh. It sounds terrible.
You guys don't. But don't you follow history of Howard Hughes? Come on.
Oh.
I don't remember the empty milk jugs.
I said that maybe that was a common saying. I've never heard it up here in Portland. I'm going to start using it, though.
I'm using it all the time, completely inappropriately.
That's right.
No, what was the deal with Howard Hughes and the milk jugs? I don't remember that. I don't know. Watch the movie. Oh, well, I can answer any question with that. Okay.
I don't want to get into it.
Just I'm not giving you my empty milk jugs.
That's right. That's like I wouldn't a, give like you an empty like milk a, jug if I did. That's, had one.
That's like getting slapped in the face with a white glove.
Oh.
I say good day to you, sir.
I knew there was a reason why I'd missed the last
Me and my empty milk jug are going home. Good day. All right.
Oh, man, that's so great.
Just on a quick side note, the spruce goose is up close to me, if anybody wants to comment to the trivia. So.
Oh, that's right. It's up there. Doesn't Evergreen own that now? Evergreen?
Yeah.
I was actually just having that conversation with somebody the other day about
spruce goose. There you go. It's not too far from me.
Cool.
I always thought it was just a big bottle of vodka.
Did you go see it? Have you seen it? No, it's Grey Goose.
No, yeah. That's too expensive. It's just a plane.
It is pretty impressive.
It's going to fly over my head all the time.
It's just a plane.
I'm sorry. Was that? I saw them. Anyways, we'll move on. We're going to move on. So, Tim, what's been going on with your
repair? It's just a lot of normal kind of stuff. I tell you what, I do have like an ongoing thing that... it's really been chapping my backside. Chat room said I wasn't keeping it G-rated enough.
No, they said we were. We were doing a good job with the G rating.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like by default, I read a thing as really sarcastic. Sorry about that. Now, I have a machine. It's Windows 7. It came with Office Starter. I know we've talked about Office Starter here a few times, Mitch, and that you could like actually download it and install it.
I'm Martin.
I'm sorry? Well, Mitch. Mitch had told the story.
Oh, well,
in the past.
It sounded like you're calling us Mitch.
No. Mitch had talked about actually being able to download it and install it. And Office Starter, it's basically just got Word and Excel. And missing a lot of the features, but it's like basically just all you need. And I think there were two versions. I believe that one you could download from Microsoft that was actually ad supported. But there was also one that was very commonly would come with on OEM, released on OEM machines. So, and of course they've done away with it, but it was like Office Starter 2010. But I don't know what these people have done to it, but they broke Office Starter. And I think that they might have followed something legitimate, maybe. What did you have a thought, Martin?
I do.
Go for it.
I have a client yesterday where I was on site. Office Starter 2010 was the OEM version, and it stopped working.
Okay.
It wouldn't open up any applications. It wanted them to activate it. Okay. And I have a feeling it's because Microsoft pulled Office Starter, therefore they pulled it all together.
Oh, I certainly... Okay. Well, you know what? I don't even care. I don't even care what it is, as long as I can get to the bottom of it, because I think they got led down a rabbit trail, like legitimately, by Microsoft, where they started to install some other version of Office. And having started that, I cannot undo it. I cannot completely uninstall it. I found all these special tools from Microsoft to completely uninstall it, and then you reinstall it. And I'm following all these steps that supposedly worked for people in the past, and I cannot fix it. And it's to the point where at one time I was motivated, and this would have been a little quest, and I would have found my way. But now it's like I've solved too many Rubik's Cubes. I don't care. I just want this thing out of my life. I want these people to have their machine fixed. And so, you know what? That would actually explain this, because I don't know. So what do we do from here? I can't tell these people to go out and buy a couple hundred dollars. That's crazy. It was OEM. It came with the OEM. And so,
right. But it was Starter, and Word and Office has pulled that. And I have a feeling that's what did it. So yesterday, what we had to do was the doctor ended up purchasing an Office product because they needed it.
Okay. All right. So I'll probably just, all these people want to do is be able to open their documents, do light modifications, and print them. So I'm probably just going to shoot them over to LibreOffice, something like that then.
Yeah. That's what I was going to do that on his, but I knew that all the other five machines had Office 2013. Yeah. And so, and I thought putting LibreOffice, I figured it would be creating more stuff. And so it was just as easy to just purchase the Office for them. And that way they're all the same across the board. Because yes. It is a site I do help remotely. And so if I can make it as simple for them, and really, you know, it's a business that had the funds to do it. That, you know, now all five machines are across the board, or every machine, they have more than that, but all machines that need Office products, they're all the same. They're all using the same application. So that way, if there's any sharing of data and documents, that there's not this DocX versus, you know, versus, you know, Docs thing.
Yeah. Well, no, in that case, that's a slam dunk. I mean, there's all those other machines, just for the sake of everything running smoothly. I mean, you can easily calculate that out, that whatever Office costs for this one machine, boom. I mean, it's worth every penny just to get everything meshed up nice. Okay, that's good. I'll have to follow up on that and get these people dialed in. But yeah, that was really frustrating. We'll have to keep our eyes out for that. I mean, if this Office Starter, you know, what's so weird though, is I downloaded it to the same thing. Like I downloaded it to my own desk machine first, and it seems to have installed fine, but it was apparently it's this click to run business that, is broken. I don't know. You know what? I might spend a little bit more time on it for my own satisfaction, but I probably will just get them LibreOffice. It'll be, it'll have that many more features. And, anyway.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
Well, Tech Solutions in the chat room just gave us a link to Snap files for,
on the Office 2010 starter, and that's what this my company had. They had on it, but it wasn't working right. So maybe I'll put this in the show notes, or you can grab it off the chat there, Tim, and give that a shot. I'll throw it maybe in a VM for myself and see if it actually works. See if there's a problem with it. See if Office has, or Microsoft has done something where they pulled the ability of running Office before, you know, running.
That is, I wasn't at that site, but yeah, that's the exact same file that I downloaded.
So we'll throw that in the show notes.
593 kilobytes. Thank you for that. A bummer. So anyway, yeah, it was just like, it's such a stupid thing. It's a word processing document. I mean, this is 1985. I mean, I think we have this figured out. Microsoft, why do we need Click to Run? Why do we need? It's Office Starter. I mean, it should run. It should run from a very quiet corner of the hard drive, happily for like the next 30 years. We shouldn't have, anyway. It's Microsoft. What do we expect? I did have something that I wasn't going to bring this, but you kind of, you kind of jogged my memory. You're talking about flash drives earlier, and so I've had this around for a couple of years, and with our Halloween theme, I decided to get this. This is something that I brought back from the dead. It's been hanging around here for a couple of years. I'm always amazed it still works. I had a lady come to me. I love hardware. Hardware's my thing. And she, this was like a friend of a family member of somewhere, I don't know. But I got a call a couple of years ago that she had dropped her laptop with the flash drives stuck in the side of it. And she wanted the contents of the flash drive recovered. Now she brings me the flash drive, and there were like 7 pieces. I mean, one was the board. And then it was like all the little bits and the, of course, now fortunately the actual USB jack in the laptop itself was not damaged, but the jack on the flash drive itself was broken off, and so I said, well, you know, hey, I'll see what I can do, and it was actually very, very easy, the repair. I took a USB cable. Anybody who's ever had this stuff apart, messed around with USB cables. If you haven't, it's no big deal. There's only 4 wires inside there. You have 2 for power, so one's a negative and one's a positive. When you're using charging cables for your phone or anything like that, usually those are the only ones that are active. So those are actually charging the battery. There's the black is your negative, the red is a positive 5 volts, if I'm thinking that correctly. And then you have 2 others. There's typically they're color-coded green and white, and those are data. So one's a negative, one's a positive for a data. And basically, I just matched them up and soldered, I cut the end off of a USB cable, soldered them up to the board. Don't know how well that's going to show up on there.
But we see so the USB, you actually have the
basically board. I just matched up those contact points of there's just the 4 points on the board where they were soldered to the jack that was broken off, and I just cut off the end of a USB cable, soldered it up, and plugged it in, and boom, was able to pull all their data off. I think it had like 2 gigs. I mean, it had 2 gigs of stuff, pictures and documents. And so, you know, the next conversation was, you know, here's all your stuff. It's burned to a disk. Let's talk about not storing your things to a flash drive. So, you know, you can't tell people this enough. I think that these things they've been built well enough. They've been robust enough. And people haven't been bitten enough that they believe that these flash drives are like what? Like ultimate storage devices that, you know, they can go anywhere and that you can store tons of stuff to them and that that they just can't be broken. But the thing is that once they're broken, man, they are broken. And of course, you know, this really don't have to go too far into that. Everybody here knows, you know, you have a limited number of read-write cycles. And unlike magnetic storage, it's awful tough to recover data from these flash chips. So, yeah. But anyway, that was That was, I was digging on that. And every couple, I see that a couple of years ago, every so often I find that stick. And it still works. That blows me away.
That's very cool.
Yeah, but that's, you know, if y'all don't, if you do any kind of soldering at all, you know, something like that's a very easy to repair. But any kind of data recovery, you just make somebody's day. And, yeah, you got me thinking about that earlier with the flash drives. So.
Oh yeah. No, I've never had one go dead on me for read writes yet. I know it's bound to happen. So I actually have a couple that I just have around. And I think it will take a while for them to go dead. And, you know, depending on which one you have, I just happen to have an 8. I dropped my. Just.
test it.
Oh, no, man. So I just happen to have an 8 gig thumb drive here. And, yeah. You know, and this is the one that just carries, I just carry around my pocket for, you know, hey, I need something or whatever. But, you know, Swift, he changed his name. It's Swift 110 in the chat room says it's better than storing data on a 3.5-inch disk, which then in turn is better than storing data on a 5.25. So.
Right.
And you so every, some, you know, there's always, there there's. Somewhere. There's nothing perfect, but we are making progress.
Well, and you know what? The flash drives are awesome if you are transporting a copy of something that's already backed up somewhere else. If you're transporting from one place to another, they're amazing devices. They've completely changed our lives, but they are not to be relied on.
No.
For any more than just from here to there. And once again, you're transporting a copy of something that's already been backed up. You know, if it's important. I mean, if it's pictures of grandma, you know, who cares, right? But
well, hey, grandma's important.
Grandma doesn't even know she's got fish. Grandma's gonna be gone soon. Grandma come back and haunt you. No, if it's somebody else's grandma, I don't care.
We just lost our age 60 to 95.
Yeah,
age.
Age we're looking for here. Actually, that's anyway. You know what? Those people are great because they listen to the same show over and over again. It's new every time.
I tried to keep it in. Oh my goodness.
And you know what? You know what I love about those people? Every time they listen to the show, it's like new every time, again and again.
He's such an idiot.
It's.
And you know what? You know what I love about that age group?
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay. All right. Anyway,
I get it. For everybody else out there, just back up the tape a couple of seconds. And
yeah, that's all right.
Tim's gonna have the whole state of Florida attacking him.
Aren't you worried? Your grandma's going to hear Tim. Ah, her computers need it fixed for years. She's not going to hear this.
I knew we would offend somebody in the chat room. I'm sorry, Swift 10. I apologize for on behalf of the Geeksters. Nah. So speaking of, but you brought up a good point. You brought up backing up your data, and which got me thinking. Since it's the last October of the month, it's still October, same month. It's the last Tuesday of the month, and that we're going to be. We've talked about October being National Cybersecurity Month, and CryptoLocker has kind of been in the news lately. And if you guys haven't heard about CryptoLocker, one, shame on you. As tax, and two, you might want to, you got to get on top of this one because it's pretty bad. Most ransomware that's out there, it is ransomware, but most ransomware out there, like the FBI virus or the, all of those different variations of those, you're able to get rid of. You can, you know, you don't send the money into them and you don't play their game. You just get around it, whether you use Kaspersky or Hitman Pro or any of those things. But CryptoLocker will actually lock down your system and then time things down. It actually encrypts the data of all your, like, docs. Docs, PDFs, Excel files. It goes through and grabs everything and will encrypt it unless you pay somewhere between $100 to $300 within a certain amount of time. And I've seen anywhere from 72 hours to 96 hours, depending on who you talk to. But it locks it down. And if you don't,
If you don't pay them, your data is gone. It's just, it's gone. And there is a posting that I saw where somebody actually did pay and they did get their data back, but they did have to pay. So it's a pretty scary thing. And both BrightTech09 has some notes about it. Our good friend that we've had on here, Nick from Foolish IT, has some notes about it. And Nick's actually created a program that is very, you have to be preemptive with this, though. You need to install it. It's called Crypto Prevent. You install it on your computer, and then it will go ahead and it will block some of this crypto locker from running. And we'll have a note. We'll have some information in the show notes for that. As also, you know, there's a couple of videos that I've seen from Sophos, kind of showing you what and how crypto locker acts and responds. And it's just, I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but it sounds pretty dangerous. And from what I've read, that Malwarebytes and Symantec do detect it, though. So why I bring this up about backup is because it will go through and it'll grab any external devices you have installed. So say your backup is your Z drive plugged into your laptop's hard drive or you're plugged into your computer. It will go through and encrypt your Z drive. So that's not, doesn't count. If it's a network allocated storage device and you have it mapped as your Z drive through the Ethernet in your, you know, the internet in your local home, it can attach that and it'll wipe out all of that data as well. So not only if you are having other devices connected to that, you're not putting only yourself at risk, but you're putting all your data at risk. And I don't think your wife would be very happy with you if she's working on a school project and all of a sudden her data has been locked. At least mine would.
Yeah, my wife doesn't like me anyway.
Well, but it does not affect what's called cold backups. And cold backups are going to be your backups like Carbonite and CrashPlan and other products like that, where they back up offsite. You're not mapped to a drive. It just takes a copy of the data and backs up. The problem you do have to remember with those kind of backups is it locks the data. It doesn't remove the files. So you may have, say, my thesis document. Now, all of a sudden, you've encrypted, you've now copied over, or that you've backed up my thesis.doc up to your Carbonite or CrashPlan. It's encrypted as well. So, this is definitely right now, it's definitely very preventative. You need to have a backup. You need to have an offsite backup. You need to make sure your data is being backed up and that's a cold backup. This can't be a hot backup. You know,
this
crypto
is
lock.
Scary crap, man.
You know, the other day I was thinking about this, and when it first came out, I thought, oh, it's just another ransomware. You know, I kind of let it roll off. And the more and more I think about it, the more and more I kind of think, what if it hit one of my clients? What if it hit, you know, whatever? And it's just, this isn't fun. This is really scary. Steve Gibson has talked a lot about it, and pretty much Steve Gibson pretty much said, yep. You're pretty much going to be, you know, yeah, your data is going to be locked unless you pay for it. So if you have extra money laying around and you're willing to pay for it, and it doesn't sound like that you will get encrypted. Once you get encrypted, you don't get encrypted again, because part of the encryption is so there's some system ID information and your ID information, it all gets hashed up. And so they know who they've encrypted and who they have not. So, you know, the good news is if you get hit once, you won't get hit again. But the bad news is if you get hit and you don't pay for it within a certain amount of time, you're pretty much screwed. So,
well,
I do recommend.
If you watch Brian's video on that, he shows you some methods you can try to use to basically go back to a restore point to where the encryption happened. But if, like you and I were talking earlier today, if you don't have that set correctly, then it's not going to work. But he was using a program, Shadow Explorer,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, to go back and try to pull those shadow copies back out. But you know, it's kind of a crapshoot, you know, if you will. It's I don't think it's a guaranteed thing, and I've actually had very bad luck with getting data back from restore points. So I would imagine for me, well, yeah, it would never
that's
work.
That's the thing. I mean, how many infected machines come in? The first thing it does is, wreck system restore. So, you know, it's nice to know that if that exists, that there is some method to maybe fix this using system restore plus some of our tools or whatever. But, oh, my gosh, this just looks like it could potentially be an enormous nightmare.
Well, and the other thing is that this is just the first generation, right? This has only been out a few weeks, so these are the first guys making it.
Actually, it's been out since September. So the end of September. So it's been out a while. It's just been taking a while to get over to, you know.
Okay, so 4 weeks.
But yes, you're right. But I mean, that doesn't.
But it's relatively new, you know. And so I only see it getting, you know, the problem getting exponentially worse. In a very short period of time, as more of these virus creators jump on board with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that sending somebody some money, excuse me, some money might actually result in this thing being resolved. Is that right? Because remember that, you know, they get the money, the Interpol wants your U.S. dollars, right? It's like, to me, that money is gone forever, or they're getting your credit card information. I mean, is there actually a possibility of some solution being provided if you actually give them money? I mean, at least at this point, I haven't read the article.
Yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes. I don't have it right now, but Steve Gibson did put out a tweet the other day that somebody did get infected, and they blog about it. They blog how they got infected, or, you know, and then they did blog how they did pay. It could. Now, the thing is when you do pay, it says it could take up to 2 days, and by then you're kind of already screwed. It only took a couple hours. They did go back and were able to unencrypt everything, and so they paid. Data was unencrypted and given back, but there were some footprints that seems like they were left, and that's how they were able to find out a little bit more. So I think as time goes on, we're going to find out more and more how to do this. But, you know, one of the other things that Tony in our chat room mentioned to me that I had forgot about is, so you guys remember, well, Edward Snowden, right? Was that his name? The guy who did the NSA leaks.
It was Snowden. Anyways, I can't remember his first name.
Yeah. So he was going through an email provider, and that email provider has since pulled the email service down because the government asked him for his keys. Well, by pulling the whole service down and killing it, the keys are gone. So what's happening now is, like I said, Tony reminded me that if the police find this person or people and they shut the servers down, what makes an encryption key is a public key and a private key. And if they kill the servers, there goes all the private key. Now you only have half of the, you know, the solution. So now you're screwed. I mean, this isn't, I don't think this is like anything we've ever seen. This is not, you know, oh, great, you got to pop up on the screen. You know, this is something that's going to be, this is bad.
No, this does something that you cannot undo.
No.
You know, it's up until, wow, and this is what's really spooking me here because, ooh, it was Halloween, really a great place with our theme, that it, you know, up to this point, I mean, so Windows is broken. Okay, well, whatever. So, you export the data, you reinstall, and you re-import the data. This is unlike anything I can remember seeing where it's gone. It's all gone. And you can't undo it. Oh, wow. Right.
You know, another option I was thinking about, and get me, you know, guys in the chat room. Yes, Swift, I was talking about LavaBit. Thank you. The other thing that I was thinking about is, like, what about having all your data in own cloud, or what about having all your data in Google Docs or something like that? You're not directly tied to them. So I'm curious. You know, it's something to think about. But yeah, definitely, if you're running a Windows machine, and I'm guilty of this, I need to go through my machines and do this. I need to figure out a way to maybe push this out to my clients as well, is to run that crypto prevent from Foolish IT. I don't know if it's the knight in shining armor going to be coming, if this is going to save everything, or if this is going to be, if this is going to fix everything. I did have a chance to talk to Steve Gibson about this. I actually tweeted him about the crypto prevent. He tweeted me back and said that he was aware of this, but it was only good until they figured out that this was out there, and then they went around it. So yeah, I was really kind of hoping that Steve Gibson would mention it, and I was really surprised that he did send me a tweet back, and he I don't know. So, and he's much smarter than me, so.
But this is wow, this is all news to me. Sometimes I'm so glad I'm on this show because I learn these things about
it. So in the very beginning, when Martin said, if you're a tech and you don't know this, shame on you. You're the shame on you guy.
Well, and me too. I don't have this. I haven't put Crypto Prevent on my computers. It's not running on my Windows box. It's definitely not running on my wife's box.
This is news to me, this one here. So, wow, really spooky.
So
yeah, it's been a few weeks now. Everybody's been kind of juggling around with it and figuring out what it's doing. I kind of agree with I always agree with Steve Gibson, but I think it's just a matter of time before they like I said, that more people are going to write this virus and they'll just because basically I think what that does is put out a group policy that Crypto Prevent doesn't allow anything to run in the app data folder. Am I right about that?
Keep talking. I'll find out.
Well, I think that's what it does. And
yes.
So they'll
The app data and the local data, local app data folder.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know, but I guess I could figure out a way around that, I would imagine. But, at least for now, it seems like a pretty good prevention tool. BrightTech09 he actually showed it in action, working. So if you go check out his video, you can see Crypto Prevent actually preventing the virus from running.
Okay. Yeah, and I know, like I said, and then the link in the show notes for the G-Hacks is the one where Sophos Antivirus, they have a virtual machine and they and purposely infect it, and you can see how the process of it reacting and how it goes through. I didn't make it to the end of it to see if they actually fixed it, but they do show you this is what it looks like when you do get infected. So, kind of a scary thing. So basically, how do you prevent yourself from doing this, or from getting this? Be very, very smart about what you open. If it's the problem is that it could be disguised as Aunt Sally's cookie recipe, when actually it's this. I don't know the means of this. I know that it gets transferred through email. You get something that you're supposed to open, and you run it and you get infected. Just be, be really, really careful in what you open up. Be very, very careful. Be proactive. Watch the sites you go to. The stuff that we talk about over and over and over again on the show, of just common sense of how to keep yourself not only clean from, CryptoLocker, but all the other wonderful stuff that's out there on the internet. And that was meant with sarcasm, too, for the wonderful stuff. But
well, let's just get good about backing stuff up, folks. I mean, you're eventually, one of us here is eventually going to run into it, or run into something. It looks like my days of just recklessly running around the internet with wild abandon is over, because this is something you can't undo. I hate the fact, just to stop and think about it, I hate the fact that the bad guys have a solution. So if my customer called me, they would actually be better, I'm gonna say this wrong, but if the bad guys right now, they have the solution. I mean, they can flip the switch. So the money would literally be better spent at this moment, supposedly, sending it to the bad guys. That makes me crazy.
Exactly. It's totally, you're right. How important is your data to you? Is it worth somewhere between $100 and $300? And if it is, you have to pay for it.
Do they have a tech license?
I don't know, maybe. No. They're using one license to spread this across the board. Yeah,
Can I get 10 tech licenses? Yeah, for $1,000, I get 10 tech licenses for these guys.
That would be ironic if that was what was their downfall is, oh, yeah, you guys didn't follow the EULA.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But really, you're right, Tim. We laugh at ransomware. Ransomware comes in and people call you up and say, oh, I've got the FBI virus, or it says this, and you're like, all right, I'll come fix it. Because we just kind of laugh at it. Like, well, don't pay it, and if you do, you just threw your money away. Here you go. You have to pay it or you're screwed.
Well, we'll have to, we'll see where how this develops.
Yeah, we'll definitely, as it proceeds and if new stuff comes out, we'll bring it to the show. But what a nasty, nasty thing.
You got anything a little more lighthearted we can end the show on?
I do have an email.
All right. I'm tying the noose over here.
Don't tighten the noose. All right. We have an email from, he signed it, Dr. Mark A. Metz. So he says, "Hey, Geeksters, thanks for the show. The support antidotes are interesting, entertaining, and informative. I'm mostly a Linux user, but I need tips for the other OSs for work. Much more interesting than a list of news stories. On show 88, Martin spoke of imaging Windows 7 machines using DefProf to copy a default user profile. I just set up 7 new machines at work and would have liked to use this workflow, but I don't know how to deal with the licensing key for Windows and all the installed apps. Is there a way to make an image, copy that image to multiple machines, and change the license keys to the OEM license on the other machines? I would like to know if this is possible for at least the OS. I did some web searching but didn't find a satisfactory answer. Also, I'm a charter member of AOL. I have had a CopyServer Prodigy account. AOL cost me nothing, and after decades of having the same email address, I barely get any spam, most of it coming because somebody I don't know accidentally input very simple email address instead of their own on some site. Perhaps the reason to have a complex email address. Thanks again, Dr. Mark A. Metz." So yeah, I did talk about that DefProf, and yes, I have used it on places where they have a volume license key, so I've never run into that. I would have to look into what the license key would be for. Say you buy 3 computers and they're all the same. They're all Windows 7 Pro. Okay. And you have bought the licenses, of course, that came with them. Now, I know that you could go in, there's applications to change the license key within the registry. You could do that. But I wonder what is Microsoft's, what's their, policy for things like that? Could you use, could you just clone one and put it across 3 or, the other 2 machines, even if you have the same, you've purchased the license. The key is a sticker. The sticker's right there. They don't care about the media. You've got a key. You've got a sticker right there on each machine. What's the thought about that, guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I read that email and I was actually kind of curious myself what your answer would be.
I'll have to do some research because I do a lot of it with volume license keys. So that's different. That doesn't matter. Now, I will, if there are Office products that are not volume license keys, anything non-volume license that's not the OS, I'll do a OS only, install programs that are free, do all the Windows updates, Adobe Acrobat and all that kind of stuff, the Reader and all that kind of stuff. But then when we get into certain applications that have product keys that are tracked, that you know that only you can only have so many per machine, that's when I will do those after I image the machine. So that's my answer for like third-party software. But as far as how that works on the operating system, I would have to look into that more and whether or not you could do that, and then maybe after the fact go in with something like, was it Magic Jelly Bean or and change the key.
Yeah, I imagine if it's I imagine if it's not a volume license that it would be tough to do that using that system that you were talking about.
Right.
Because I just don't know how you would. I don't know. Way above my pay grade.
Man. So I'll look into that and see what we can find about that. But that's a great question, and it is a thought, especially when you come into, if you have a lot of machines. But if you're a major company and you do have a lot of machines, you may want to look into volume licensing. It's actually a lot cheaper than having to buy each machine without. I mean, even when we purchased at another company I had, we had a volume license key, but you couldn't purchase them without the OS. So we'd purchase them with the OS and then put on a different OS with our volume license key. But we were getting such a big discount rate because we were buying, 5,000 computers at a time. So
that's a big discount.
Yes. They were very, the distributor was very happy when they got a call from us. I mean, it would take, I mean, it would take, you know, all over the whole course of the year to come in, because we would get a, you know, shipment of a couple hundred at a time, and then there would be some backlogs. And so I think 5,000 is a little high. I apologize for that after looking at that number in my head. So, but it would be quite, you know, we would get pallets upon pallets. It would not be uncommon to get, you know, 250, 300 computers in at a time on a big truck.
Wow.
And so then to image all those machines.
How many fell off the truck?
None. None.
I do not recall the answer to this question.
I know. Exactly.
It was a certain volume of computers.
Exactly. You know, with everything, there's always a plus and minus of 1%. Or just plus or minus of 1. Okay, maybe just minus 1.
plus 1. As if there was an extra one. Like you just brought one in from home and it got mixed in.
If I put this my HP one in there and I take this brand new Dell, I think they'll notice. Called the company, hey, you sent us an HP. What'd you do that for?
There's one machine that needs PS2 keyboard and mouse.
Yeah. So I want to read that email. We'll definitely take a look at that. But that was something I wanted to bring up. So what do you guys, anything else you want to bring up?
That's all I got.
That's it?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, that's all I got. Goodness. I hope get feeling better, Mitch. Miss you, buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. Not really.
Every show is new to Mitch. It's new to me, too. It's new to everybody. What are you guys laughing at? It's not funny.
You're right. I'm ashamed. Every show is new.
Every show is new to everybody. Are you suggesting he's old? Why are you snickering? It's not funny.
All right, folks.
Anyway,
Tim, if you want to get a hold of you, where can they send you hate mail?
Age
discrimination mail.
If you'd like to,
where would you like the whole state of Florida to send their email to you?
If you would like to throttle me virtually, you can send an email to tim@realpcrepair.com. I am Tim Bauermeister in the G+. Or you can give me a drop kick to the groin at In Like Tim and the Podnuts forums.
Drop kick to
That's
the
enough
groin.
Ways. Who's next?
Wow. All right, Fred, people want to get a hold of you?
Just geeksters@podnuts.com.
All right. That's it, huh?
That's it. That's all I got.
You want to hand out your personal cell?
Yeah, it's
Is it 7076 Podnut by any chance?
It is.
Yes.
It's not 304-58 Geeks anymore.
No, it's not. So yes, as Fred said, if you want to send us a voicemail, 7076 Podnut. If you'd like to send us an email like Dr. Mark did, that's geeksters@podnuts.com. If you want to send me an email personally, martin@obandocomputing.com. You can find me in the Google Plus. You can find me on the IRC. Every now and then I kind of get in when I can. I know it's a little rough for me these days, but I do get in there, and you can find me on the chat as well. It's chat. I'm in the forums. I'm sorry, guys.
Do we have a method?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, do we have a method of playing voicemails?
Not yet. So, if you'd like to send us a voicemail, please be patient. your voicemail may be translated into text, and we may read your voicemail on the air.
Just curious.
But like always, you can always we appreciate everybody's support. If you're going to buy, you know, Christmas season's coming up, holiday season's coming up. If you're going to buy anything from Amazon, podnuts.com/Amazon, that helps us out a bit. Whenever you can, and I'll come up with a Christmas list if you guys want to send gifts to the show. Maybe something you guys can buy something nice. too far? Too much?
Yeah. Might have been a little bit of a stretch.
All right. Well, then
somebody sent me a hammer to smash my camera with.
All right. Well, some side cutters. Have a safe Halloween, everybody. Be safe. Don't get hit by a bus. And we'll see. We'll see you all in a week. Going into November, we're getting close to our 100th episode too. So we got to come up with something for that. Maybe a little song and dance.
Wow, that's divisible by good numbers.
There you go, 100. All right, guys. Have a great week, and we're gonna see you next one. Bye, guys.